Now we wait at Radio Rewind. The following content has previously aired on CJSF. But don't worry, we'll be back next week with fresh content. CJSF 90.1 FM. Diverse, independent, yours.
Hey folks, this is Joey Chaos, and you are listening to Oh No Radio on CJSF 90.1 on that FM dial, broadcast to you over the unceded territories of the Musqueam, Squamish, and Tsleil-Waututh First Peoples. On today's show, we have a very special guest. She is Vancouver singer, songwriter, and synth lord Larissa Loiva, and she has just released her latest album, Voice Leading, through Mint Records through her project Kelarisa. The album came out on April 1st, and this synth pop album is a rapturous fever dream of emotion and movement and needs to be heard now. That's enough of me talking right now, though, folks. Larissa, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Joey.
Very excited to have you. And yeah, I'm really pumped on this album. Those who listen to the show know that I love pumping out the synth jams, the local synth jams. And you just released Voice Leading through Mint Records on April 1st. And I just want to know, how does that feel?
It feels great. This record was almost exactly 2 years in the making. So it's been a long time to kind of work on it, but then also sit on it, and lots of back and forth of, like, even should I release this as is, but it's out.
It's out, and it's been a long 2 years as well. So I'm just wondering, how did that, like, impact the writing and producing of this album?
Yeah, well, I actually started writing and recording it simultaneously during the first week of lockdown, basically. It had been, I guess, 2 years since Ocean Electro at the time. Now it's been 4 years. But I thought, oh, maybe it's time to start working on another record, because I knew it could take a little while to get everything set. it took this long to get it. And of course, writing a pandemic record was weird. It doesn't reference the pandemic at all, but I think, you know, there were a lot of underlying feelings and emotions and frustrations that ended up coming out in my music because of it.
You know, I think it's really refreshing to have an album come out during the pandemic that isn't about the pandemic, because it's just really nice to have that escapism.
Oh yeah, I made that decision a long time ago. I'm like, this could last a week or a month or whatever. Like, I didn't want it to, like, define the time or vice versa.
And I'm just wondering if you can tell me a little bit about the album.
Sure. As I said, I recorded it myself. I recorded it in GarageBand. A lot of the songs were influenced by a French novel that I'd read in English by Anne Garreta, called Sphinx. And it's a novel from the 80s about, like, a dancer and a DJ and their sort of ill-fated relationship. It's very stylish, and I was quite influenced by that sort of 80s style, France, Paris discos, you know, the nightlife. I tried to get that to come across in the music. They refer to a song called The Sphinx by this disco singer, Amanda Lear, and I remember listening to it, because I didn't know it was a real song. Like, the lyrics were in the book, and I listened to it. I'm like, okay, this video is really cool. This lady's really cool. But the song was a bit meandering and a little boring, so I completely reworked it and added some verses and some changed the chord structure a little bit, and sort of made it my own. So it's not really a cover per se. It's a reimagining. Yeah, what else? There were a few songs that I wrote. I'd maybe got 5 or 6 songs in the can, and I was still looking for a little more material because I'm not a prolific writer, so I don't have a lot of songs to draw from when I start recording. So I ended up doing a little thing called Song Game with my friends Laura Barrett and Milenko Vujosevic, I think, and we attempted to each write 20 songs in one day. We didn't quite accomplish that. I think we all burnt out around 13 or 14, but we were sort of in touch all day and like keeping accountability for one another. But actually, like three or four of those songs I did end up reworking and using for my album. So all the thoughts and the ideas were already percolating at that time. I just needed to like distill them into songs. So that's how it kind of got rounded out. That's the gist of how it came together.
It's kind of funny how it's those songs that you write like in the moment like that. Like the 20 song a day challenge sounds quite impossible, frankly.
Yeah.
But I understand what that mode, that creative mode is like. And when you like, you just intuitively know what the song structure should be, what the chord progression should be. And I find it's those songs that are the ones that just come out easier. And it seems cliche, but it's true. It seems those are the ones that just kind of like the ones that write themselves are the ones a lot of the time.
Yeah, like Bad Influence was written that day.
That's fantastic. And we've been talking for a little bit, and I actually want to give our listeners a chance, if they haven't checked out some of the tracks already, to listen to a song from the album. And I'm just wondering if you could pick one for us.
Let's go with Sphinx. So far, it hasn't gotten a lot of airplay because it's not one of the singles leading up to it. But, you know, we can get to those as well. But
all right, let's spin it. Thank you. Hey, folks, this is Joey Chaos, and you are listening to Oh No Radio on CJSF 90.1 on that FM dial, broadcast to you over the unceded territories of the Musqueam, Squamish, and Tsleil-Waututh First Peoples. On today's show, we have a very special guest, Larissa Loiva from the band, well, the solo outfit, Kelarissa. She's just released her latest album, Voice Leading, through Mint Records, and we just listened to the song Sphinx from that album. Larissa, welcome back to the show.
Thank you.
So we already talked a little bit about the literary beginning of that track and also how it came from your manic 20-song jam session you had with your friends, or challenge. I want to talk a little bit more about some of the production and some of the writing process going into this album, if that's okay.
Sure.
Cool. So I did a little bit of snooping on you, as in I went to your Facebook page, which has a lot of great content on it, by the way. I did enjoy the your inspiration playlist that you put together for the album. But I saw that one of the collaborators that you had near the end of the album was Jeff Kancaid, who of Devours, the Golden Age of Wrestling. Jeff's been on the show here multiple times, and I'm just wondering if you could talk about that musical partnership a little bit.
Sure. I've known Jeff for a number of years already. In fact, we toured in Eastern Canada together after Ocean Electro came out. We had a great time. And we've actually also collaborated on like a duet that has yet to see the light of day, but that's, I'm just putting that out there. But yeah, so Bad Influence was like one of the songs that I wrote very quickly during our song game. And, you know, even after Jesse Gander did some production on the album, he did all the mixing and a little bit of like pre-mastering and tweaking of tracks and things like that. But we only had a couple of days in the studio, so Bad Influence was the only one that was still sort of sticking out for me. Like, it didn't quite feel finished. So instead, I went over to Jeff and said, like, what can you do with this? And he was, of course, like, it's perfect. I don't know if I can do anything. But I was like, yes, you can. So we got together a few times, and he added some beautiful solo synths onto it and some cavernous bass, and as well as, like, you know, chopped up my vocals a little bit, as he does so well for himself. And we just sort of remixed it and made it a better product.
Nice. He's a fantastic producer, and a lot of people know him like just simply as a musician and performer, but he's like such a wonderful producer, and that the bass sounds that he can get too, like, and I listen to the track, like, it's phenomenal, and it's like he's got a real ear for writing songs that, like, how they translate live as well. So it's kind of cool to see that come together. And also, like, the production between, like, your previous album and this is, like, this one is miles ahead, and it doesn't, you know, bring the other one down at all, but it's just, you did a wonderful job on that. So I'm just kind of like wondering what was the journey between those two releases?
Well, you know, I hadn't really done a whole lot in between. The only difference was, like, I recorded Ocean Electro with Jay Arner, and we did it over like many months. Like, I'd just sort of go over to his place when I had like an afternoon free, and, you know, we'd work on it for a few hours at a time. But there's always that pressure of being in the studio and having to like find something right away, or else you feel like you're wasting your time or you're wasting your producer's time. So this time I thought, well, it's COVID, I can't really be in a recording studio, and also, you know, it's expensive. So I just thought I'd try it myself. And really, it's the product of being able to go through everything with a fine tooth comb hundreds of times. And I really paid attention to where I wanted the songs to go, and I let the songs guide me and the writing process. And I didn't try to listen to that voice that said, like, oh, that's not the cool thing to do or whatever. You know, I really, really trusted my gut with every ounce of it. Yeah.
And I think that's such an important thing. Like, mm-hmm. I think an artist truly strives when they start to, they lean into their perceived worst impulses, like completely mm-hmm. and fully, because those are the things that are going to keep you up at night. And you're going to go, oh, I wish I did this thing that was really
yeah.
weird, but really great. And that's what shines yeah. through, I think.
Yeah. And I still have that feeling about, like, I don't know, 22 things on the record, but at least it's, I know it's mostly what I want it to be.
I think eventually you just have to trust your gut with what yeah. you're doing.
Yeah, and I'm pretty good too at saying, like, okay, it's done. Like, you can only keep doing it for so long before you lose sight of the whole thing, you know?
Yeah, and I think that, like, intention really shows, like, mm-hmm. in the album. And just, like, pardon me, not just the, like, the sound, the songwriting, but the visuals behind it as well. It's just, it's so cohesive. And just, like, looking at the album artwork for it, it actually looks like it is something that has genuinely come from that era, opposed to vaporware or vaporwave, like, that's a pastiche from it. It just, it looks like something like a long-lost 80s album, which is really beautiful yeah. in so many.
I'm glad you think that way. I collaborated on that with a Canadian artist named Stephanie Cuse. And, you know, I was like, hey, do you want to do this album? Here are my influences. Here's some ideas. And she came to me with, like, two or three, like, vastly different ideas. And then, you know, one of them was initially there were, like, three figures or sort of, like, monoliths. But we liked that sort of sun motif and the mountains and stuff. So yeah, we went back and forth, sent like 30 emails back and forth and said, like, can you make this a little more like this? Can you move this over to here? Can you try turning this into that? And eventually we came up with something very beautiful that I feel very proud of.
Nice. Well, I want to play another track off of the album, and I'm just wondering if you have another pick for us.
Maybe this time we can play Bad Influence, produced by Jeff Cancaid.
Let's do it.
We'll be right back. Rita McMahon started New York City's only wild bird rehab center in her apartment in 2005. But after years of hard work, she needed a better location.
In 2012, we opened our storefront in a lovely landmark building, and I got to move out the 60 birds that were in my apartment on my husband's birthday. It was a nice present.
The Wild Bird Fund has grown to see more than 7,000 birds each year. They see lots of pigeons, a lot of birds for lead poisoning, but during migration season, there's one common culprit.
Right now, the great majority are from the window collisions, like last weekend on Saturday, 26 in one day. That's a lot.
Most birds don't survive the impact with glass in the first place. If they do make it, many have concussions or broken bones. Only about a third of the birds brought to the Wild Bird Fund for window collisions survive.
So when it comes to us, we see our job as really what we're doing is hospice. Stop the suffering, make the end as comfortable as possible.
Saving birds from this unhappy end requires rethinking the way we design buildings. And New York City is on the cutting edge of that challenge. This past December, the New York City Council passed legislation that will require builders to use at least 90% bird-safe materials for the bottom 75 feet of a building. That's where the vast majority of collisions occur. Maybe in the future, Rita will see fewer birds at her rehab center. For Bird Note, I'm Ashley Ahern.
Hey, folks, this is Joey Chaos, and you are listening to Oh No Radio on CJSF 90.1 on that FM dial, broadcast to you over the unceded territories of the Musqueam, Squamish, and Tsleil-Waututh First Peoples. On today's show, we are speaking with Larissa Loivia of the project Calarissa. She's just released her latest album, Voice Leading, on Mint Records, and we just listened to the track Bad Influence. So as well as putting out a brand new album and doing all the work leading up to that, you've also just released a brand new music video for the song Desire Path. Can you tell us a little bit about the music video?
Sure. It came from the brain of Adrian LaBelle, who is one of the co-managers at Mint. She had this whole scenario planned out and then like presented it to me and was like, I want to make a video for this song. So I was like, okay, let's do it. It's moody. It's based on some like giallo films, you know, that very moody 70s like Italo horror kind of thing. And she concocted this sort of circular story involving the sort of the theft of a suitcase that contains some secrets, and we follow our lead characters on a chase around town. And anyway, she directed it with the help of Kuba, who was our videographer and editor, and they've really created this timeless piece of art that's very cinematic. And I'm very pleased with how it turned out.
Yeah, it was. It totally has that like 70s feel to it. The color grading, the outfits, the car that you got for it, the everything.
Yeah.
And there's also you got your portrait done for this music video as well.
I did. Yeah, it's sort of I was going to say it gives away the secret, but it's just like a reveal. But my dear friend Hassan Lee from Cult Babies painted it. He's a self-taught painter from the last few years, and he agreed to create an original portrait so that we can use it in the song.
That's phenomenal. Well, I didn't mean to give it away, so
that's okay.
Everyone who hasn't watched the video yet, erase that last like minute from your mind. Nothing happened there. And other than having this like this visually stunning video for the song, a lot of your tracks have like some really deep themes and emotions behind it. And I think I'll start with Desire Path, because I was reading the lyrics of it and I was really like, they're really quite moving and resonated. And I'm just wondering if he could like talk a little bit about some of the themes in the song.
Yeah, this one. So a desire path is like a well-worn path that's usually kind of off the beaten track, but usually connects walkways. You know, you see them when you're out for a walk and you've got sidewalks, and then maybe there's like a jog in the sidewalk and there's like a footpath that goes like around that tree or something, you know. And so the path, it's sort of the path of least resistance, you know. It's usually a shortcut of some sort, you know, that isn't the prescribed way to go. And I was thinking about that concept and how it could apply to life, and how sometimes, you know, we can't take shortcuts in life, and we have to, you know, learn things the hard way, and often by repeating our mistakes until we realize that